Hello, everyone. Welcome to Financeology 101. Class is now in session. The information provided during this podcast is just that, information. You will need to do further research to address your specific situation. Enjoy the session. Good evening, everyone. And welcome to another session of Gifted Generations Presents Financeology 101. I am one of your hosts, Robin Seegers, and your other host is
Elroy Seegers.
So welcome back. I guess we can say welcome back because we've been gone for a minute. We take the summers off and enjoy ourselves. So this is the first live stream podcast for the fall. And we decided to go with PII. And I know you probably wonder, what is PII and how does it impact finances? Okay, PII is personally identifiable information. I'm going to say that again. Personally identifiable information. Like your name. Your social security number, your date and place of birth, your mother's maiden name, your biometric records. Oh, what is biometric records? Your fingerprints. Now they have software to scan your face.
You go to the airport, you do the eyeball scan.
Yeah. Your retinal scan. Yeah.
Does that?
I mean, it's all sorts of ways to get your identity. And this information is what we use to apply for loans, credit cards, all sorts of information. So when you hear companies saying that their system has been hacked, guess what those people are getting? All this information. They're getting all this information because then they'll turn around and use it to open up all sorts of loans and credit cards and all sorts of stuff. And that left with proving that that wasn't you. So now you're on the hook for all this money that somebody stole. Now you have to pay somebody to help you clear it up. And it can take years.
Yep. All kinds of scams, too, to try to gather the information from you. They piecemeal things together.
Yeah.
Dumpster diving in your trash.
Yes. Yes.
Know, one thing that we do here is that when even stuff that's like just got a name on it, and we're going to either we shred it. If we don't shred it, we put it in the trash can. What you call those things? That
block they're called Guard Your ID. That's what it's called. Yeah. Look it up. It's called Guard Your ID. And what it is they make these like rollers or these stamps that have all these alphanumeric prints on it. So when you roll it over or stamp your whatever that information is, you can no longer read.
And here's what people always forget. A lot of times they just like, you know, let's say you buy something from a store and you may order something online and it comes and you just cross out your name. I cross out everything. The little scam bar, who they came from. I just make sure the whole label is just non-readable. You can't leave anything up for grabs information because it's some smart people out there. That's why they call hackers.
You have people that's all they do.
Yep.
That's all they spend 24/7, 365, trying to figure out how they can use this, get this information and use it. So like Elroy said, when you get junk mail where it's give you a confirmation number to join this, that, and the other, or a credit card, or them fake checks, and all of that. Anything that my name is on and has a barcode, any kind of registration code, confirmation code, you probably like, that's over the top. I use those Guard Your ID stamps or rollers and go through all of that. I go through, open up the mail, and I go through page to page to make sure my name, because they stick your name all throughout the mail. I make sure the names are covered up. I make sure the barcodes, any kind of confirmation numbers, all of that is covered up because people spend their time getting that information. And if they get one piece, then they get another piece, they didn't got your ID.
Yeah, I know a lot of times people get mixed up what PII is, the difference between PII and personal data.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure I give a definition of that, not my understanding or interpretation. So let me read to you the difference between the two. It says here, basically it says here, PII is, the difference between PII and personal data is that the difference between a person, it tells, let me say it again. Let me start it over. Why personal data identifies any information related to a individual, where PII is information that relates to your private information about you. So personal data, it can be your race, ethnic origin,
your gender,
political opinions, mm-hmm. So your background beliefs, your trade union memberships, you know, generic data. That's what personal data is. It does not identify
who
social security
are.
Number, your first name, last name, social security number. That's the difference between personal data and PII. One says I'm living and this is where I exist. And other PII is information about me, first name, last name, social security number, home address type thing.
Right. And just to give you some examples, mm-hmm. of people stealing, and this is personal examples.
Okay.
My son has a name that could be either male or female.
Yep.
And one of his jobs, long time ago, let the file cabinet, the personnel file cabinet, unlocked, unsecure. And a young lady worked there, went through the files, found his information, took it, and went and started applying for credit. However, we have a system in place that we deal with companies, and you can look up different companies that help you protect your information. We deal with a company that protects our information, and we keep it locked. So right. If anybody runs anything against our names, they can't get anywhere because the information is locked. And you have to go through certain credit bureaus and credit this. And if we have you have your information locked, they can't get any further than that. And that's what happened. That young lady tried to open up credit cards in his name within hours of getting his information, and we started getting notified.
Yep,
and it stopped right then and there. The second instance, once again with this son, doctor's office called because they couldn't get a hold of him because he takes specialized medicine and they needed to get him a refund. The doctor's office called me and started asking me, what is his social security number, trying to verify who I am. And I'm like, no, I'm not giving you his social security number. Who are you? You called me. How do I know who you say you are?
Right.
And she couldn't understand. I was like, you're not getting it. You called me. You want me to verify who I am. I don't even know who you are.
Yep.
So I never gave her information. I said, no. She kind of got frustrated with me. But I was like, you got to think about what you just did.
Right.
So I just told her, no, I'll have him call the doctor's office and get it fixed. I say so because I'm not giving you his information because you could be anybody.
I was going to say that. A lot of times they may say, well, I have information. Can you verify? That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So now you just verify your name with that social security number. Never give out information when mm-hmm. someone calls you.
That's
and
right.
If they give you a number, calls back at this number.
Nope.
If any number you don't recognize, don't call it back.
I wouldn't even call. I would look up a number.
It's just a scam to try to scare you. You hear about it all the time on TV, but we still get fooled on scams. And it's all about trying to trick people. And today's information with AI, anybody can be made to sound like somebody, look like somebody. They just need a little bit of information. And then they can just pull more from you, faking information, faking someone's name or voice. So you got to be very careful to protect yourself. Now, it may happen, you know, everything is not 100% sure, but you want to try to put things in place that can safeguard you from that. Because one thing about a hacker, they're going to always attack the least resistant information to get to you. It's like saying, I have an alarm in my house. Why should I try to break into a house with an alarm and next door there's no alarm, windows open? I'm going to go to the house with no alarm, windows open, go in here and I need to come on out. The one that has alarm, I'm leaving that alarm because that's a little bit too much trouble to try to do anything. Hackers are the exact same way. It's the least resistance that they're going to try to get to first. Why spend more time with those protected? You may have some good stuff protected. You may not, but I'm not going to waste my time. Hackers just move on to the next thing. So if you put something in place, you're less likely to be attacked. Not saying that you won't, but you're less likely to be attacked.
Now, here's some of the things you can put in place. Like I say, get yourself one of those Guard Your ID, and that's the actual name of the company. Yeah. Google it, Guard Your ID. Order some of those supplies to go through your mail. If you don't have that, shred your documents. Right. Shred your doc. Buy a shredder. Another thing,
buy a good shredder. One that goes up and down, and one that's like jagged at the edge. And,
right, the one that really slice and dice it up. Exactly. Also, go every year. Twice a year, I know it's here and it's probably all over, spring and fall, they have shred events, shredded events, where companies sponsor the DOJ, North Carolina DOJ sponsors, State Employees Credit Union sponsors one, different cities sponsors, where you can bring all your documents that you want to get rid of in a trash bag, and they have those huge shred trucks locate on the location there. They don't take your bag and then drive to the another place to shred it. They shred it right there on site. Yep. I do that twice a year. I clean out files. Twice a year, I do that. In between those events, I shred and I use my Guard Your ID. So be thinking about that. Also, when you're thinking about your computers, when you need some software, pay the money to secure your computers.
Yep. And phones.
Yes. And when they give you updates and to install on your phone and your smart devices, put the updates on your stuff.
Make sure a quick question. Do you think browser history is PII?
What do you think?
I asked the question.
Oh, you asking me?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you just asked a rhetorical question, and you was going to turn around and answer.
I'm asking you.
It could, because it gives you a tracking of what you...
Girl, you IT special.
Because it can track the things that you're looking for and the things you're searching for, and then just start piecing things together. Because a lot of times your computer remembers your name and start filling in those fields.
Yep. So you got it. You said it.
So you have to have the software to protect your computer, software to protect your smart devices. Also, RFID tags.
Yep.
They are radio frequency ID tags that you put in. You can put your credit cards in. You can get them at the bank. They lost. You can buy those on social media. I'm not social media, online too. Find RFID sleeves and pouches where you slide your credit
card. Especially ones you can do like a Wi-Fi payments and Google payments on your phones and stuff.
Right.
Because what did you tell me one time?
Because
somebody was in line and they was able to scan information and gather.
Right. The lady was in line and of course, she had her debit card in her purse. She did not have it in one of those sleeves. One of those sleeves will prevent your information from emitting. Wasn't even at the cash register yet. And no, she was at the cash register, but she hadn't pulled it out. And it had already pulled it from her account. She hadn't tapped nothing, scammed, slid it in the little slot, nothing. It was still in her wallet. And she could figure out, the lady said, okay, you're done. And she like, how? I didn't even put my card out. It had pulled her information. It emitted the information to the little kiosk thing that you check out and already took the money from the account.
Yep.
So those sleeves, look them up, RFID tags or sleeves or pouches. Look it up online. You can put your passport in it because your passport have codes on it that can be pulled. Those strips and those chips in your debit and credit card can be scanned and pulled. We had a lady tell us at the bank, and I mean she was got really indignant with us.
Yes,
That's secure. No. She was upset because we wanted our son's money back because somebody scanned his card and then used it, that information, and created another card and used it. And she's like, no, those are secure. And
you're not.
They had it on TV that those things are not secure.
So, you know, you just got to do what you can to guard against theft. You know, a lot of people think about burglars in your house. Now you got online burglaries. You have, when you're out the store, burglaries. When you walking in the line, you know, you can be walking down a parking lot. You know, you got people out in the parking lot scanning scanning for information as you use them. Because think about it, as soon as you, like your wife, my wife is saying, when you start scanning those things, you're admitting something. Somebody can be 10 feet from you. While you're admitting that, they're sitting there receiving the information.
Yep.
And then I like my wife do. She always, she never puts a PIN number.
I never use a PIN number.
When she goes to the store, she always hit the enter and let it use the credit, you know, type stuff. And then a lot of times we're using a lot of credit versus, you know, debit cards, because you got some protection against theft with your debit, with your credit card. Now you do with your debit card too, but it's your real time money and you can get it back. It's just going to take a little bit longer and more complicated to get it back versus a credit card. Be like, hey, that wasn't me. Take the money off and you get your money back type thing. So there are some advantages to those things. But PII is something that's, it's yours. It belongs to you.
This is how we identify ourselves. Yeah. Also, another thing to think about, Wi-Fi. When you go to these different places and you have your system automatically to Wi-Fi, you think you're doing something, you saving your data. Because everybody on that.
And
guess what? The hack is on that too.
And here's what the hackers do. Let's say you go to a hotel called Robin and Roy's Hotel, right? And we call it Robin's World Wi-Fi. Somebody gonna set the Wi-Fi, Robin's World Wi-Fi number two. Like, oh, they got one in and two. Let me connect to number two. You ain't connecting to ours. You connect to somebody else that's 10 blocks away, whatever. And now you're using their Wi-Fi on their network and they're capturing you every keystroke. We use our data plan or we use our own personal hotspot because it's locked to our phone. I don't ever use anything like that. I just avoid it as much as possible because it's just accident waiting to happen, getting out information, because you never know. Sometimes you just forget what you're doing on your own phone. I'm going to be cautious. I'm going to be careful. And next you know, you log into and then somebody's going to capture your information. Like I said, that PII, it belongs to you, not to others. But if you don't protect it like you protect your own home, then you're setting yourself up for failure, to be exposed, and a lot of headache. And sometimes it can financially ruin you because it will cost you more money to fix the issue than for you to stop somebody from doing it. So yes, we pay something monthly, but I'd rather pay monthly a fee than someone than not paying and then somebody charging me tens and thousands of dollars to prove what they stole and created of me is not me.
And do this for your kids too, especially if they're at the age where they young adults or they getting close to it. Protect their information as well. Yeah. Also, going back to the hotels, we never turn in our hotel room key because guess what? On those strips is your credit card information.
Your name,
it's tied. When they swipe it, they tie it to your room, which your room now has your credit card information on file. So we never give those back. Don't they get? No, we never give them back because we don't know if they're going to wipe them clean or they forget or they drop it and somebody else pick it up. And now they can scan and get our address, our name, our credit card. All of that is on there.
It's all kinds of ways. Just got to be more cautious than less cautious and just be wise to what's out there because there's people out there. That's
all they do.
Waiting for you. Watching and waiting for you.
And this could impact your financial future for years to come.
Even your license. The thing on the back of your license, that's a code. You know, because now when you go to the store, they say, you know, if you're a veteran, if you need to base, just scan the back of your license and just scan the back of your license. I'm like, dang, everything has scanned nowadays, boy. It's like, you can't get away from it. I mean, forget your fingerprint. That's like, we need your fingerprint. We need everything else about you. And it's out there. It's amazing where we're going with today's technology and how we're advancing. But the more we're advancing, the more acceptable we're going to be to people stealing information from us. What was he saying about cars being hacked?
Yeah.
You know, and I was laughing because my truck is everything manual, the windows, no sunroof, nothing digital. I said, well, they can't hack my truck. So I'm like, woo, still got this truck. So it's great to have those cars, all the information. But then now taking that information that you plug in where you're going, you know, it's just amazing how they're using the information to track you and know what you're doing, everything about you. And they're taking the information and they said,
they're selling it.
Right. Because you are saying, I agree to allow these people to use the information in my car and to use it for X, Y, and Z.
A lot of agreements and things that we sign, we don't realize because
they say, when you they said there's a clause in there saying they're not going to use it for this right here. Mm-hmm. The clause is just for them to get away of saying, oh, we didn't use it for that, but it was used for this purpose. And we did say the person who got it cannot use it for that. It's like they'll use any little clause to get them out of trouble. But the clause is what you're looking for, because that's how they're going to use it.
Right, because our information is being sold and bought every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why you hear a lot of these businesses being hacked, and then they sending you letters, and they giving you, what is it? What's the companies they trying to tell you to protect your stuff? The different credit bureaus. Yeah. So they trying to get you. But our information is floating out there all the time.
And you can lock your credit for 6 months to a year, I think, if you suspect any activity. You can, if you got one of those credit unions on one of those credit people online, you can do it online. Or you can just email them, call them, lock your car, says you're gone for, I think, 30 days, 6 days, 9 days. I can't remember the length that you can do it for. But they'll lock your credit for you if you suspect some kind of activity. One good thing is also good to do, people don't think about this, when you're traveling and you're going overseas, something like that, you want to lock your credit while you're out of the country. Because you're out of country, tell me, are you going to be applying for a credit card?
No.
So why don't you say, no, I'm going to lock my credit, lock everything down. You lock your house up, but you leave your credit wide open. Leave all your PI wide open. So why don't you think about, hey, let me just say lock my credit down for the next 6 months. And they will contact you if someone tries to create an account in your name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they should be notified. You know, now, if you're overseas, you ain't worried about things with you. Take care when you get back. But a lot of them think about when they're traveling out of the country to do those extra steps to make sure you're safeguarded, not just against your home, but against your PI, against your credit card, against your personal information that someone can sell, buy, and steal from you.
So this was something we felt that we should start with, because I don't think it's talked about enough, or I don't know if anybody ever talks about protecting that information, because that's your financial information that you use for everything, everything, not in just finances, the doctor's office, this office, that office. This is the information they use to identify you. So if you don't protect it, and you might be like, oh, y'all being anal. I'm so anal that we still have a landline in our house, because I do not like using my cell phone when I need to talk to somebody and give out my social security number. Because, and you're like, what in the world, Robin? Because our cell phones is Wi-Fi. It's wireless. Yeah, so people can hack that and listen. Yeah. And you're giving out all your information over that. I do not. And sometimes I do have to do it, because I might not be home and I cringe. Oh my goodness. I cringe. There's times I've called people on my cell phone in the house and I say, I'm hanging up and I'll call you back. And I'll go get on the landline, and not a cordless phone, the actual plug in landline.
Yep, she does.
And talk to them, because I heard stories of people that struggle with getting that stuff fixed.
Struggle bus.
Your whole identity is gone. Somebody else has taken it, and now you're left with, I mean, they could be committing crimes in your name, and you got to prove it wasn't you. So this was just a get your juices flowing to start looking at how you can protect your personal information.
Yep.
The steps you need to take. You might not go as far as we do, but you can take some steps, even if it's just start with shredding.
Yep, just prick your skin to be aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
All right, I guess we can wrap it up so I can give all our posting.
Yes.
So we, of course, you know, we have the podcast, and one way to follow on the podcast is actually go to the website, which is giftedgenerations-llc.com/podcast. And of course, we own Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and we also can be found at Financeology 101 on all those outlets. On Facebook, our handle is giftedgenllc. Instagram is gift.gen, and YouTube is Gifted Generations LLC. So, and Twitter is something new that we started. Well, my wife is doing a great job in posting. It's Gifted Gen 2019. So follow us, like us. It's good. Sorry about that. It's a lot of good information. You know, I always say we can share and like everything else, but we can't share anything like that's going to make us better.
Right, right.
And that's something we just pass right by. Also want to mention that our app is out there. It's in the Play Store. It's called Bags of Money. So go ahead and download it. It's a great app. It helps you with tracking your financial expenses and day-to-day expenses. It is not attached to any bank because we're talking about PI. So there's no information you need to put in your bank. It's something that like an electronic checkbook. And it has two registers, right? Right? I get those mixed up, y'all. I say registry. Registers. It has an income register and checking register. They're totally separate. But it does keep your checking amount balance based on your income and your spending habits, some recurring spending bills like water bill, light bill, mortgage, and car payment. It posts in the register automatically for you. So you can kind of like put the frequency things to update it. But it's a great app. You will love it. It'll be able to track how much money you have in your account. It does future projections, months and weeks and days on a row. So what's today's date? Today is September the 12th. You can say, how much money will I have in my bank on December 15th? You scroll to December 15th, and it kind of can tell you, based on your spending habits, this is how much money you're going to have in your bank or how much you are not having in your bank. So it's a great little app. It gives you a homepage that tells you your checking balance, your savings balance, how much money you have surplus or shortage on the homepage. So I know it's an app that can help you out individually, help out families, but it can't help you out unless you download it.
Right.
So check it out. Check us out. We've been working very hard on this thing, and we're trying to do even more bigger things with the app. It's just, you know, everything takes time and money.
Right. And to just piggyback on what he said, it's up to you to put in the data for the app.
Right.
You have to put in your accurate data for you get accurate information.
Right.
And it, once you put it in, it extrapolates all the way out, months and months out.
Right.
So that
right.
if you say I get paid every 2 weeks and you put it in, it will start showing up every 2 weeks on the app.
Right.
If monthly bills, weekly things, it'll show every week, every month. So
right.
it once you put it in once and you tell the frequency of it, it extrapolates out.
Right.
And like he said, so we want to say this again, it's not tied to your bank account.
Yeah.
We did that specifically because we want to have that because that's very serious information that we didn't want to be responsible for.
Yeah.
So we did not tie. Also, we did not tie to your bank account because we want you to be engaged.
Accountable.
Because now you have to put the information in.
Yep.
Now you have to check it. Now you have to, because now we really don't do those things. We just swipe and go.
Yep.
So now this app will help you track your spending habits and the income and the savings, but you have to do something. You have to be engaged and be a part of the process.
Yeah,
so.
It has a payday come down. So when you put your payday in there, it lets you know 13 days of payday, 12, 11, 10, 9 paydays a day type thing. So it's a good app. We put a lot of...
it's a great app.
Awesome app, I should say. We put a lot of effort into this thing, a lot of thought into this app. It's based on the foundation of what Robin and I have done for our whole entire marriage. So the app is just taking an Excel spreadsheet, turning it into it, and having the exact same principle. So it's nothing new that we've done, something we can speak to, we do all the time. We also offer financial coaching. You know, if anybody needs financial coaching, you can go to our website and you can schedule a consultant time with us. And then if you like what we're saying, like what you're hearing, you know, you can go ahead and schedule some time with us moving forward. So we're available to help out individuals, groups too. So we can come out to your place, church, school, whatever you want us to do. We can also put a presentation 1 day, 1 hour, all weeks. We have a whole plan that we have. I'm gonna say my wife. I'm like, that's some good stuff right there, girl. So she has done a great job putting the package together. All for the things that our beliefs and what we've done over the years.
Right. So we just want everyone to be engaged in their financial future. So
look us up, Gifted Generations LLC, and don't forget that .com. Okay.
All righty. Thanks, everyone.
Right,
and we'll be
night.
Talking to you soon.
All right.
Well, thank you for tuning in to our podcast, Financeology 101. I hope you enjoyed this session and the information provided will assist you on your financial journey. Until next time, be financially engaged.